Welcome to Pilgrim Talk.
Hey there.
Good to have you in the hot seat again.
Oh my goodness. Yeah, we seem to have been kind of, dashing around everywhere and interviewing all kinds of people. So sometimes it's just good to...
Speak for yourself, Dave. Skiving off to Burma and back.
Yeah, but sometimes it's good just to put your feet up by the fire and have a cup of tea in your hand and a chocolate bicky and just have a chat.
And that Burmese tea you gave me, Dave, is so strong. I don't think I've slept for about 3 weeks. But if anyone doesn't know about tea from the Orient, it looks like... looks like some sort of strange drug, and you put hot water on it, and it floats, and it sinks, and it floats again. And it's rather potent stuff, Dave.
It's like putting cabbage in your teacup.
Yes. Yeah. Anyway, we survived that, by the grace of God, I have to say.
Yeah.
And what's happening, Dave?
Well, I've been for months and months and months. I've been just so stirred up in my spirit about. The bride of Christ and the preparation of the bride for the coming of the bridegroom.
Mm.
And, I hear so many people now talking about the revival that's coming in Ireland.
Mm.
And, I would really see that as part of, God's preparation of his people in Ireland to be part of the bride.
Yeah.
And it kind of kicked off for me when I was thinking about that parable of the wise and the foolish virgins and the realization that, that's not really the bit that I'm involved in, that where my heart is to be involved is to be in the bride who's back in the house, back in her father's house, waiting for the bridegroom to come.
Mm.
And that's the promise that God has for, all his people, that you can, if you want to be one of the wise virgins or the foolish virgins, go ahead. But the greatest promise that there is that we could be part
of the bride.
Of the bride.
Yeah.
And the bride is in her father's house, which is the church.
Yeah.
Being prepared for the coming of the bridegroom. So I've been thinking, what is this preparation that's taking place?
But how does this apply, Dave, to a fellow who doesn't feel great and, some believer loves Jesus, but he falls out of the bed on a Monday morning, and he's struggling with this, that and the other?
Yeah.
How does this speak into that situation?
Well, that, that's where I was at. I was that guy falling out of bed on Monday morning.
Right.
I was in a very discouraged place.
Why, are you leaping out of bed now?
Well, I'm getting out of bed with a little more focus and purpose
right.
in my day. Because, part of what ailed me at that time was not having a vision, not having a hope, not having a purpose.
Right, yeah.
Looking at Christian life as a means to survival.
Mm, yeah.
So much less than what God has prepared for us. So much less.
Mm.
Christianity is not a means of survival. Christianity is to be involved in the greatest thing that's going on in the universe right now, which is God getting his people ready for intimate communication and fellowship with him forever.
That's right. Wasn't it the gates of hell will not prevail against the church?
Yes.
And somebody once said, it's not like someone takes the gates off the hinges, comes chasing you down the street with a bunch of gates.
Mm.
It doesn't work like that. Yes. It's like it speaks about us in Jesus, having some sort of authority,
right.
Against things that are out of line with the will of God.
Yeah.
Big topic here, of course.
Big
Maybe that's
topic.
For another day. But.
I kind of mulled over, what does this preparation involve? And it brought me back to a guy that I read about 20 years ago in a photocopied copy of a book that somebody we know gave me.
Yeah.
And I read it at the time. And I remember being really kind of interested in it. But 20 years later, all of this suddenly started to make sense. And I was thinking, I have to read that again. No idea where it was.
Right.
And eventually I found it, started reading it, and so much it was speaking about this preparation. It's a guy called George H. Warnock.
Very good. Sounds and pretty authoritarian name. Warnock, he was, ready for warfare.
He was part of the Latter Rain movement, which was, I think that was in the 40s and 50s in the United States mainly.
What was it, Dave? It was an outpouring of the Holy Spirit, was it? Or
yes.
How would you describe it to someone who never heard about it? The Latter Rain movement.
The Latter Rain movement. It was this idea that that there was not just a historical or not just a spiritual fulfillment of the types and shadows of the feasts of Israel, that there was the Passover, you know, and we know from Scripture very clearly that the Passover prefigured the life, death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. And then there was Pentecost,
right?
And that was one of the feasts of Israel.
Yeah.
But we know that
it's about the coming of the Holy Spirit.
Coming of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
And the third feast was the Feast of Tabernacles.
Right.
And what does that refer to? You see, it hasn't happened yet.
Yeah.
So the Latter Rain movement was a prophetic movement, I suppose, that investigated or explored the whole topic of what the Feast of Tabernacles actually means in the experience of a Christian and the experience of a church. And the conclusion that they came to was that it was the last, well, it was the last of the feasts in Israel.
Right.
It's the last of the feasts in the church. And the very interesting thing that George Warnock points out is that the last day of the Feast of Tabernacles,
right,
obviously is the culmination of something. And he goes to the Gospel of John, and he talks about the scripture that says, on the last day
of the feast,
the great day of the feast, which feast? Well, we know from scripture that it was the Feast of Tabernacles. And Jesus had purposely not gone up to the feast with his disciples.
Hmm.
But suddenly he appears in the temple.
Right.
And he says, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. We know that scripture. But this was the last day of the Feast of Tabernacles.
Right.
So Warnock says that this indicates that the culmination of the Feast of Tabernacles is the feast of his appearing.
Mm.
And so he says,
like his second coming.
Yeah. And so that all that has to do with tabernacles has to do with the second coming of Jesus Christ, the coming of the bridegroom for his bride.
Wow.
And if it is the coming of the bridegroom for his bride, then what we know is that at that time, the bride will be ready.
Yes.
You see.
Yeah.
And, you know, I just find this so incredibly exciting. And this is what gets me out of bed these days.
Yeah. Wow.
You know, I mean, I do a very physical kind of job that, you know, wouldn't be all that fulfilling in terms of career. This is what lights my fire.
Yeah.
This is what makes sense of just getting out of bed.
Just a growing conviction, you're saying, that Jesus is coming back and that the Lord is preparing me and others in the process, really.
Yeah. Very graciously.
Yeah.
Very graciously.
Oh, yeah. He always works by grace.
And because it says in Revelations, you know, it says He saw New Jerusalem coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride for the bridegroom.
Mm-hmm.
And then, not sure if it's exactly that scripture, you might have to look at the references in the margin. You'll find another scripture in Revelation which talks about, for the bride has made herself ready.
Oh, yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
But then there's an interesting thing that said, for it was granted to her to be clothed in fine linen. So there's two things going on here. There's the bride has put on the fine linen, but number one, it was granted to her to be clothed in fine linen. And so what that indicates to me is that there is a work, a sovereign work of God that takes place.
It's like something given to her. Given. It's not earned, but given.
And that we don't currently possess.
Right.
You see?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Because we know, you know, in Christ Jesus, there's total victory over sin, that there's complete deliverance from every work of the enemy and the world and the flesh.
Yeah.
But do we walk in it?
Yeah.
We don't, exactly. You see, we don't. Yeah. Has there ever been, now this is stuff that Warnock points out in the 1950s, we can say the same thing of Christianity today.
Dave, tell me this, Warnock, can you get this book as a PDF on the internet or anything?
Well, you know, I did a search on the Feast of Tabernacles,
right,
George
yeah.
Warnock. Just do that. You get a whole website of his stuff.
Yeah.
I think... apparently he's still alive.
I think we'll put a link on the podcast so people can just click through it.
Yeah.
And it's good. It's great when we talk about something like that, that people can actually dig a bit deeper.
Absolutely.
And be blessed.
I mean, there's stuff to read for years.
Oh, yeah.
On just on this one website.
It's amazing, isn't it?
It's amazing.
But see, the depth in the Word of God is just so astonishing.
Mm.
And you know what really lights my fire, Dave? Is the same God who gave us His Word is the same God who made nature, who created things. And I was walking on the beach the other day, and there was loads of shells on the beach because there'd been a storm earlier. And I looked down, and there was two creatures I'd never seen the like of before. One was a particular starfish, where instead of the traditional sort of starfish with kind of fat legs going out, this one had really thin legs, and the center bit was kind of a more like a circle and little sockets where the little thin legs went out. I just never seen this in my life.
Right.
And then there was another thing. I don't even know what it was, but it looked like all these valves and beautifully intricate patterns. It was a thing about 5 inches long. And again, it was just like another sea creature. It was dried up and dead, of course.
Mm.
But the pattern was amazing.
Mm.
And if you get the microscope and you probe deeper and deeper and deeper into nature, you find more and more pattern and intricacy. You know, we were saying in one of the earlier podcasts how it's only 10% of the cells in your body are human. 90% are microbes.
Right.
All these this world is going on inside.
Mm.
Good bugs, you know. And anyway, what I'm saying is there's an endless depth in nature, and there's like an endless depth in the Word of God too.
Mm.
So as you begin to dig deep for the nuggets of God's Word, you're not going to suddenly hit the bottom of the barrel.
Well, that's right.
You're not going to suddenly realize, oh, well, that's it.
Mm.
Or you're not going to find a teacher someday who goes, I know it all. Well, unless he's in pride, you know. But the truth is, God feeds us with this endless food. It's fantastic, isn't it?
Mm.
You know.
Mm.
I heard something. This really lights your fire, Dave. You know, nobody quite knows where the Garden of Eden was, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Bally James Duff.
What?
Bally James Duff.
Oh, really? Why do you say that?
Well, that's the song Percy French wrote.
Oh, did he?
You know, the Garden of Eden has vanished, I say, but I know the lie of it still. Just turn to the left at the bridge of Loch Ray or something and stop when halfway to Coot Hill. It's there I'll find it, I know sure enough, when fortune has come to my something. For I knew I was born in Bally James Duff, and that's where the Garden of Eden is.
Right.
Okay.
Well, you sure try to steal my fire there, but you haven't, Dave.
Go on.
I'll tell you, here's a thought that's been put forward by somebody recently, and I have to say, as soon as I heard it, I thought, this is really interesting. First of all, we know that after Noah's flood, the whole world got reshaped, okay?
Yeah.
So when you read in the book of Genesis that there was four rivers that went out from the Garden of Eden,
right.
The name's four of them, right?
Yes.
And what this guy was saying was he reckons that the original Garden of Eden is where the tree of life was at the very same spot where the Temple Mount is in Jerusalem.
Right.
And it was just wild. Now, I'm not explaining this terribly well, but the whole idea of the rivers, and we see in Ezekiel, and it talks about the rivers flowing out from the temple.
Yes.
You know, and you just see a lot of things coming in together here, you know,
about
the tree of life, you know, the Holy of Holies, you know, a whole load of stuff going on here. Anyway, all I'm Gosh, I better give you a better Bible study on this one next time, Dave. But I have to say, God's word is awesome.
Yes.
It really is.
Well, yeah. And, you know, if you have one of these Bibles with the margin in the center that gives you references to other scriptures, mm-hmm. then you can start with one scripture and follow the references mm-hmm. and carry on, you know.
Yeah, yeah, right.
And do that with that scripture in Revelations about the bride has made herself ready.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
In Revelation, yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's cool.
So, because just you know, last sentence from me
yeah.
is, you know, if this is the case, God is preparing the bride to be ready for the coming of the bridegroom, isn't that the most important thing to be involved in?
Oh yeah.
You know, yeah. Isn't that what you would want? Isn't that what you've always wanted?
Yeah.
Isn't that where you've always wanted to be?
Yeah.
Isn't that what's in your heart of hearts?
Well, to see Jesus face to face.
To be with him forever as his bride, you know.
Yeah.
That he would look at you and see something that would delight him.
Yeah. Well, on that note, we're going to say goodbye on Pilgrim Talk in midstream. So we'll continue this theme next time.
Great,
thank you all for listening. God bless you. And this has been Pilgrim Talk.
Thank you.